Hello and welcome to our PFL post-show. The event in Dubai just wrapped up. Highly anticipated event. One of the most anticipated main events in PFL history. It was Usman Nurmagomedov versus Paul Hughes, number two. This for the vacant PFL lightweight title. There is a new champion. There's actually a new champion in the light heavyweight division as well. They're starting to figure it out now. You need champions atop your divisions. We're going to be talking about this and a whole lot more right here on the post show. I'm Ariel Helwani. Joining me tonight is the great PT Carroll, of course, the host of the critically acclaimed podcast, The Crack. PT, I'm in no mood and I can't imagine how you feel right now to do the usual dilly-dallying at the top of the program, because if I'm being 1,000% honest with you right now, we just watched a great fight. And sometimes when you have a great first fight and then you look forward to the rematch, you wonder if the rematch could top the first. I don't know right here and now if the second fight, the one that we just witnessed, was better or even as good as the first. What I do know was it was very entertaining. It was very fun to watch. It was not without controversy. In the end, officially, Usman Nurmagomedov is the new PFL lightweight champ. It was a very close fight. I scored it 3-2 for Paul Hughes. I gave him the second, third, and fifth. Obviously, Usman gets the first and the fourth. It was very close. I thought it would go either way, and when I had a 2-2 going into the fifth, I thought Hughes probably needs a stoppage here to ensure the victory. However, the reason why I am livid right now is because it doesn't feel as though Hughes was playing with the same deck as Mr. Usman Nurmagomedov. And what I mean by that is, one judge, PT, had it, if the announcer, who didn't have the best night, if I'm being 100% honest, if he is correct, and we're waiting the scorecards, he announced that one judge had it 50-45 in favor of Usman Nurmagomedov. He had another judge giving it 49-46 in favor of Usman. Now, 49-46 is a 4-1. All right, we're saying 3-2. Still, I don't see how you don't give Paul Hughes at least 2 rounds. 50-45, as I sit here today, PT, and I'm quite agitated, might be the worst singular scorecard that I've ever seen in the history of mixed martial arts. Whomever that person is, and we'll find the scorecard very soon, we'll get it very soon, and we'll tell you his name, should never be allowed to not only officiate, judge MMA, he should never be allowed in an arena watching MMA, because that is the most despicable scorecard that I've ever seen. 50-45 in favor of Usman Nurmagomedov is an absolute disgusting, despicable, laughable scorecard, and that means that it was not fair terms for Paul Hughes. Now, you have known Paul Hughes for a very long time. We can't deny that. We can't hide from that, but you are a very honest and I believe a very unbiased guy. To see a guy that you've watched his rise and do everything that you need to do to get to this point, what are your feelings after witnessing the fight that we saw and then hearing what the scorecards were afterwards?
I can tell you, as soon as the announcer started reading out the scorecards, I just left the room. Because I knew it wasn't going to be 50-45 Paul Hughes. I knew it was not going to be 49-46 Paul Hughes. And the reason why I have an issue with that, Ariel, is because in the lead up to this fight, this was the conversation everybody was having on Irish MMA. He cannot go the distance with this guy. He has to stop him. He will not get anything going his way in Dubai. And unfortunately, this fight perpetuates that exact opinion. Because I don't know what you are watching if you don't have Paul Hughes winning a single round of that fight. I actually do have, I have issues with the 49-46 card as well, but when there's 50-45, you don't really need to even go there. That's an absolutely egregious card. And I mean, you talk about how long I've covered Paul. At the end of the third round, I start thinking about like how many times this guy's career has nearly been taken away from him. And how he is now in this moment fighting in this guy's backyard. And a lot of people, and we had Donal Corby on The Crack earlier talking about all the Irish expats that live there. The reason why Dubai are paying for these fights is to have Nurmagomedov there. There's no doubt about that. Everybody understands that. If you've covered a fight in the Middle East, you understand that. But Paul gets a very good reception as well. However, the officiating today, it would turn your stomach. It's just absolutely uncalled for. To judge a fight like that, 50-45, there's not a single person in the world that can walk away from that fight thinking Paul Hughes didn't win a round. It's horrible. And honestly, the other issue I have with it is that's that kind of boxed off for him now. You're not going to fight for the title again.
Well, you know...
Not as long as Usman's the champion. Sorry.
By the way, I would love to see it. And with all due respect to Alfie Davis, who deserves his crack, and there's other people as well, Those two are magic together. Like, those two deserve all the credit in the world. They are magic together. Even their little tit for tat stuff, their pre-fight promotion, as Usman said, this should not be any sort of indictment on Usman Nurmagomedov. Let me be very clear, because I know people are going to come out here and be like, you just hate Usman. Excuse me, I'm not criticizing Usman Nurmagomedov. I'm criticizing the gentleman that gave a 50-45 to Usman. As I sit here right now, I feel like, hey, if we would have sat there and said 48-47 Usman, super close fight, you know, let's rewatch some of those rounds, I would have been like, hey, man, that's not a robbery. That's a very close, hotly contested fight. 49-46, I just have a hard time not giving Paul two rounds. Go one step further, how do you give him not one round? Not one round. So it makes me feel like he wasn't playing on the same playing field as Usman. Now, we talk about Keith Peterson. In total, I counted three low blows, and he only acknowledged two, right? There was one in the beginning, one towards the end. The second one, he completely brushed off. The third one, later in the fight, I believe, if my memory serves me correct, it was the fourth. I might be wrong on that. It looked like Hughes might have been out of the fight. And then some way, somehow, I don't know if he was selling it, he just kind of pops up with a smile on his face and he keeps on going. Now, worth noting, there was a clash of heads towards the end of the fight as well, in which it looked to have cut open Usman. And that, you can make a case, deserves, if you want to say, like, hey, you know, it was tough on both sides. There was also a headbutt at the end of the first round. Every single one of these infractions that I'm talking about, none of them led to a point deduction. And so Keith Peterson, who has been around the game for a long time, who obviously the likes of Dominic Cruz has talked openly about not feeling like he is one of the top referees who should be officiating these types of fights, didn't have a great night at the office as well. I mean, think about this, PT. If he takes one point away, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Isn't that insane? In such a close fight.
Can I just ask, and I have a broader point to make, just on the point of that fourth round headbutt, did you see that connection? Because I saw the replay and I still didn't see a connection.
Yeah, you know, originally...
Because he was throwing hooks on the way up to the shots. I don't know what it was. But what I did notice was, at the headbutt at the end of the round, there was zero conversation. Back to your corner, Paul. He immediately stopped the fight when it happened inside the cage. And they went to a replay. You know what I mean? It just perpetuates the same thing we're saying. It's one set of rules for one person and one set of rules for the other person. There was no stoppage on the second groin shot to see if it landed. It was just like, no, it didn't land.
Keep going. Like, what? Nothing?
I can't stand here and say he absolutely kicked him in the balls. I can't, because they didn't show a replay. It just went straight through. That's the problem with this for the PFL, right? I completely agree with you. There is no robbery here. Usman Nurmagomedov, he wins that fight 48-47. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. I had a difference of one round with the judge. I can completely get that. Same as the first fight. I had it for Paul. Usman wins the fight. No problem at all. The issue PFL have coming away from this fight is, if I'm anyone else in the world, I'm saying I'm not fighting that dude in Dubai. I am not doing that.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you have these 10 rounds of absolute magic. And these fights, these are the best fights in PFL history. Between Hughes and Usman Nurmagomedov. And Usman Nurmagomedov, can I tell you, the improvements I saw today from that guy, his jab was like a piston. Paul had a really rough time figuring out Usman's jab today, and he was jabbing from kicking distance. He was exploding over range and hitting him with it. I thought he fought really well. I thought he had far more explosion in his takedowns. He really gave Paul a lot more to worry about, I felt, in the takedown area of this fight. He deserves a lot of credit. But the issue I have coming away is just that card. And when that happened in the second round with Peterson, I was like, I hope we're not talking about this at the end of the fight.
Yeah.
But of course we are. Of course we are.
It's very unfortunate, because like you said, it's a tremendous second fight. And honestly, I'd love to see a third, just because they're so entertaining. They've given us 10 amazing rounds, and they've given us all they've got. And it's one of the, like, look, you know, the co-main event, Corey Anderson is your new light heavyweight champion. It doesn't feel like the highest of high level, right? Especially with the light heavyweight title on the line tomorrow in the UFC, and with Roundtree and Prochaska and what we saw from Ulberg. This feels like the highest of high level. This feels like two incredibly talented fighters who are great on their own. They're more often than not great on their own, but are magic together. And so I hate the fact that we're even talking about this sort of thing, because to be honest, you know, again, I really, like, I thought it was 48-47, and you agree with me, but I really, you know, you never know with these fights anymore. Like, you never know. What sucks to me is that this is taken away from such a great matchup. It's taken away from such a great, you know, rematch. And I would love for PFL to say, let's do it again. I don't see it happening anytime soon, because you talked about Usman. He looked great. His striking looked great. I mean, the way he is so quick with his takedown, and then there was that period there where he transitioned to the body lock, and it seemed like for a brief moment was going to catch Paul Hughes with the rear naked. It's like, wow, this guy, he's like a snake down there. But also, let's give Paul a lot of credit as well. The way he switched at the very end, where it seemed like Usman was gonna maybe like seal the round with the takedown, and we still don't have the breakdown. At least I haven't seen it just yet, as far as the scorecards are concerned. He switches and then gives him the point. Like, it's just, they're just so great together. So I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of rambling here, PT.
You may have
said it. You had a 2-3-5, right, for Paul?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's what I had it. And look, I'm sure there's close rounds in there. There's no doubt about it. But to speak just about Paul Hughes, this is no secret to you. In Ireland, MMA has a bad reputation, and it has become a code word for something else. MMA. It's not where it was during Conor's pomp, and he is responsible for that to some degree. But having a guy go out there and represent Ireland the way he does, and you know, there's never going to be any bullshit. You know, he's going to go out there and fight for every second. And you were talking about that there in terms of Usman has these incredibly dominant positions on him. He has a body lock. He has your back. This is exactly where he wants you. And Paul Hughes just won't stop fighting. And he gets up. And he doesn't just get up. He's already throwing a combination before Usman even realizes he's out of the lock. The guy's an absolute credit. He is allowing the sport to be seen in a different light in this country. And I honestly think any Irish person that was watching that fight would be extremely proud of him. He forced himself on the microphone at the end of the fight. Usman spoke as the victor. He absolutely should get the right to speak to the people there and the people adore him in Dubai. So I was happy to see that. But the fact that Paul had to take the mic then, request to speak to the people that travel over to find him, is just, it's a nod to how humble he is, first of all, and how much it means to him to have the city of Belfast, to have Derry, to have all these places in Ireland. And it really is the whole island behind this guy. He's an absolute credit to us. So fair play to him. He had every right to piss and moan and complain.
Yeah, he did not
what the
do
fuck
that.
Was that? He did not do that. He shook Usman's hand and we live to fight another day. So fair play to Paul Hughes. I think he's calmer than me and you for some reason, Ariel, which is absolutely crazy.
Honestly, I think he's in shock. When they said 50-45, he sort of laughed like, oh my God, I'm getting the screw job here. I mean, we can now forever call this the Dubai screw job. There was once the Montreal screw job in 1997. This is now the Dubai screw job. You know why I feel this way? Because again, we have to be careful here, and I have to be careful as well. This was a close fight. And again, yeah. I think we're both in agreement. 3-2, totally okay. 48-47, totally okay. What bothers me about the 50-45, and then to another degree, the 49-46, is it makes me question, what the hell did I just watch?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, was that legitimate? Was that ever going to go his way? Other than a knockout, was that ever going to go his way? And then it makes me question Keith Peterson too, because Keith Peterson had a bad night on his own. If it's 48-47 for Usman, then I'm like, yo, Keith, you got to do better next time. But when you couple not a single point deduction for the three low blows and then the headbutt at the end of the first round with the 50-45 and the 49-46, I'm wondering, like, what the hell was that? What did we just watch? What is going on here?
Everything's being compounded. That's exactly the feeling I had. And I'm sure every person that was watching this in Ireland and the UK and whoever else, as soon as they read that, like, that's the issue for me. As soon as that card comes out of the announcer's mouth, you know who it's for. Like, you know, that this is the crazy thing. And that's a real problem for PFL. Like, just as a brand, you can't have people feeling that way. Like, these are big nights. These Dubai nights are important. They did great things here. They've sold out a big, big arena. Like, I'm sure it was hard to secure the arena, even with the amount of people. There's a lot of passion flying about the place. There's people from Dagestan. There's the Muslim community there. There's Irish people probably drinking, probably enjoying themselves. I'd say it's a feverish atmosphere, and fair play to them for doing this massive venue and all that stuff. But the problem is, you come away questioning the legitimacy of the officiate. And
You come away questioning the legitimacy of the whole damn thing.
And that's the death of sport. Once you're in that conversation, when does it stop being sport? Do you know what I mean? Like that is the idea that you have in your head. So it's very unfortunate.
I feel grossed out by this, man. I feel grossed out. And I've always said that Patty versus Jared Gordon is the worst collective scorecard in recent memory. There have been some bad ones.
Diego Sanchez, Ross Pearson.
Yeah, there have been some bad ones. But this like singular score, I want to know who that guy is. Like, we need to investigate that man or woman. I don't know who it was.
Well, if PFL, they need to release as much information as they possibly can.
They have to distance themselves from this. They have to distance themselves from this situation because, by the way, I was talking about this with On Air Jordan. Did you see going into the fifth round, FanDuel had Usman up like -1150. -1150 going into the fifth round.
There you go again. That's another thing. That's another fucking hell. Like,
how is that possible? What's going on here? I looked at that and I was like, what? And I don't bet on the fights, but they had it on the screen, and Paul was like a plus, I don't know, it was like 345, 400. I was like, is this the same fight that I'm watching? What's going on here? I had a 2-2 going into the fifth.
We were all scoring it together. Like, I was in a group chat with all, and GC and Rick, just to kind of check with me. I was like, am I, you know, because I know the boys are telling me, Pizza, you're on that home cooking shit yourself, mate. Like, if I was going, but they were scoring the same way as me too. And again, Usman deserves a lot of credit. Like, this is two tremendous fights. We should be talking about that. This whole thing, right? I'm just saying, like, me and you on this show right now, we were going to do this regardless of the outcome of the fight.
Yeah.
And if the judge had a read out three cards, 48-47 for Usman and Magomedov, we're having a completely different conversation right now. It's not the same show. We're talking about how great this fight is. We're talking about the legacy of these 10 rounds. We're talking about what these guys have done for PFL. We're talking about all this kind of stuff. But unfortunately, the thing on everyone's mind here is that scorecard, and it's gonna taint them. Like, they need to get the scorecards out there. Tell us who this was. We need to find the person, interview them, see what they were seeing, because there's no way in fucking a reasonable person could have watched that fight and said he didn't win a round, mate, and keep a straight face. Come on,
let's play this game. All right, so these two just fought for the PFL title. Usman Nurmagomedov is now the brand new PFL lightweight champion. And by the way, they deserve some credit for finally figuring this out, which is, hey guys, we need champions at the top of your weight classes. You now have three officially. You now have Costello Van Steenis at 185. You've got Corey Anderson. Congratulations to him. Not much to write home about regarding that fight, but he did what he had to do. And then lightweight, you've got Usman Nurmagomedov. By the time the year is over, we'll have Chris Cyborg versus Sarah Collins for the women's featherweight title, and they'll decide who will be the official champion there, and you'll have Henan Fajeda versus Vadim Nemkov for the heavyweight title. We kind of view, I think we all do, Dakota Decheva as the uncrowned, dare I say, 125-pound women's champion, but you'll have at least, what, you'll have five champions by the end of the year. So they're starting to figure out, and they're starting to clean it up, and that's all well and good. These two guys just fought for the lightweight title. We suspect, as my screen, see, this is how long I've been sitting here.
Turn out the lights of the library, mate.
We suspect Ilya Topuria. I'll say it right here now. Armin Tsarukyan versus Dan Hooker is happening November 22nd in Qatar. We found out just a few days ago. As a result of that, I suspect it's going to be Ilya Topuria versus Paddy Pimblett, or Ilya Topuria versus Justin Gaethje. I think it's going to be Paddy, as I said earlier in the week. Do these guys, Hughes and Usman, can they beat Ilya, the current lightweight champion? Can they beat Paddy?
I think most people, and Paddy and Paul have quite a beef, as you know.
Like, yeah, that'd be not great.
And that's a great fight. And Paddy's a lot better than people give him credit for, as we've said many times. Like, you know, people were talking about him before he came to the UFC, like, oh, this guy is, he's going to get found out immediately. And look at him now. Like, he's right up there. That would be a huge fight. I don't think either of those guys get outclassed by either of those guys. Like, I don't think Usman goes in and fights Ilya or Paddy and everyone's like, oh, wow, Jesus, PFL is terrible. Like, these are high-level fighters. And Paul Hughes has sparred Ilya Topuria many times. And you know, these guys have been in the same room and they really respect each other's skill sets. And interestingly enough, they're both undersized lightweights. They're both guys who came up from featherweight, are probably a bit shorter in stature than most of the guys in the division, but really pack a big punch. I don't think either of those guys are uncomfortable with any of the top guys in the UFC. I think they are that elite. And I think they've proven that in these fights. I think And again, I can't, like, this should be a moment PFL are planting their flag and like, look at these two fucking savages. Like, look at the 10 rounds these guys had, and you would happily watch another 10. That's very rare when you have two fights and one victor in two fights, and you're walking away going, as you said, like, I'd love them to do it right now. Like, that is something to be celebrated, but unfortunately, it's very hard to get onto any of those things tonight. Paul Hughes and Paddy Pimblett would be a fucking unbelievable fight, though, if it could happen.
Yeah, I think Ilya beats the two of them.
I'd put Ilya absolutely at the top of the pile.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, we just got the scorecards. The scorecards read as follows. Brian Minner is the individual who scored it 50-45 in favor of Usman. Hadi Ali is the judge who scored it 49-46. Now, this is what's interesting about what I'm looking at right now. According to what PFL just put out, Hadi Ali has it 10-9, 10-9, 10-9, 10-9 for Usman, and then 10-10 in the fifth round. That has to be a typo. I mean, but even if it was 10-10, that would not equal to 49-46.
Mark Goddard is having an aneurysm somewhere looking at someone giving a 10-10 in MMA. He does
But you understand what I'm saying? That wouldn't equal 49-46.
Well, it's fucking even worse now.
What the fuck?
You're making it fucking worse. You've given us transparency and somehow it's made it fucking worse. What is going on, lads?
Okay, Brian Minner has been around. So let's just go with Brian. Let's pretend like that's a typo. I don't know.
Pull up MMA decisions on it.
Yeah, I have. I've got it up.
Okay.
So he's had some... I mean, he's done a bunch. Since January of this year, he's done, I don't know, I'm doing quick math here, over 20 events. And he goes all the way back to 2010. UFC 118, he was there. I Googled his name because it's hard to keep track of all these guys. And there is, shout out to Frankie on this one, there is a Reddit thread from a year ago where someone says, Brian Minner just managed to make Sal D'Amato and Chris Lee look like great judges on the same night. That Ricci card is baffling. So he had a scorecard for Tabitha Ricci against Lupi Godinez, where he had it 30-27 for Tabitha. Sal D'Amato had it 29-28 for Lupi. He also had a scorecard that was 29-28 for Slava Borshev over Nassim Sadikhov, and Chris Lee had it 28-28. I would be lying to you guys if I say that I remember this specifically, but even the comments are saying even John Anik called him out on the mic, which sounds like Jimmy Smith tonight, which, by the way, shout out to Jimmy Smith. Yeah, Jimmy Smith, who said afterwards that the 50-45 was ludicrous. I might be paraphrasing.
Usman Nurmagomedov said to him, what did you think of that? I made it very clear this time or something. He's like, nah, I had a 48-47 and didn't even say which way he had, just continued the interview. I mean, come on.
Back in November of 2023, this is from an MMA Mania tweet. Tonight, Brian Minner has scored round one for Mackenzie Dern against Jessica Andrade, gave Tabitha Ricci 30-27 over Lupi, didn't give Sadikhov a 10-8 in round two. So that was the MSG card from 2 years ago. This is quote tweeted by Chael Sonnen, who writes, Brian Minner is an excellent judge, all caps. Whether you agree with his scorecard or not, I support his courage to judge a dynamic sport in seconds and stand by his score. Criteria could be a box as well as a blueprint.
A friend indeed. That is fucking brilliant.
So yes, there it is. Now, we don't know what's going on with that second one, but at least now we know that it's Brian Minner who's the one who was, I don't know. I don't want to suggest anything, but who definitely needs to be looked at. I mean, this is a guy who, according to MMA decision.
It's an insane.
You think he's on the take? What happened here?
Well, like, that's the problem is that's the perception it gives us. Yeah. Like, you have been paid to put on an event in Dubai. Dubai obviously want the biggest star for that market, which is Nurmagomedov, and then these cards come. Like, that is the issue. I'm not trying to say that's what I think, and I don't actually. I couldn't possibly think that, because then the idea of this sport is completely collapsed all around me at that stage. Like, I can't honestly believe that, but that's the problem. That is the perception that's out there. You have underlined, highlighted, fortified the sentiment that something weird may have happened there.
Do you think that when all is said and done, Paul Hughes is going to regret anything? Do you think he is going to regret? I mean, obviously he'd want a stoppage, but, you know, Usman is a very tough guy to beat, obviously. Do you think he could have done anything more? Do you think he's going to regret any moments? There was one moment where I saw he rocked Usman towards the end of the fight with that stiff jab.
The fifth round.
Yeah, fifth round. And then I felt like he should have pounced, at least gone for it, right? There were moments where I thought his jab was looking very effective, very stiff jabs. He was connecting, but I would have loved to see him try to package it with maybe a two, not just the one. Again, these are all minute things. He's an incredible fighter. Do you think he's going to regret anything?
I think the biggest dilemma he'll have will be similar to the biggest dilemma he had from the first fight. When they allow they give him time for the third groin shot and he's down on the ground, I think the last time in the last fight, the idea coming from FAI was that illegal shot to Usman allowed him to recover and it gave him time and he was able to get a second wind and it was a much more competitive fight. We had him in a really good spot just before then and we kind of let him back into the fight for taking that break. I wonder if when Paul was down on the ground, he started thinking that maybe I need to suck it up here and just get back in the fray because maybe this is giving him more of an advantage than it's giving me. Maybe me lying on the ground here is actually allowing Usman to gather himself and maybe I'm the one that should be putting the foot down to the mat right now. And I think, honestly, that's what factored into him not chasing up that jab in the fifth. I think the ball shots got to him. Like, we've all been there, man. We've all got shots to the stones. It is completely debilitating when it happens to you. And I just wonder, did he get up off the ground a bit too soon there? Because he still had 3 or 4 minutes he could have taken. As you said, it went from very bad to him kind of getting up and being like, oh, I'm ready to go. I think maybe that'll be a conversation they're having next week. Like, should we have stayed down, collected ourselves completely, and then had that extra two shots at the end of the combo? And I agree with you. I thought he was throwing a left hook at the end of all of his combinations, and that's a classic boxing thing. So you line up back in the right stance, and your stance is perfect nearly when you put the left hook at the end of your combinations. But I thought for sure he was going to catch him at one. But fair play to Usman, he was very wide to it. Like he copped on it very early, and again that jab he was splitting Paul. He was hitting him hard. You saw the damage to his eye. I think he was just very good at breaking up his rhythm, not allowing Paul to be the one that's constantly moving forward. We saw more of that in the first fight. I thought Usman's jab did a great job for him just breaking up the rhythm and breaking up patterns for Usman.
They're having a mare over at the PFL because they've just tweeted out a new scorecard. And shout out to Nolan King, who noted that the original scorecard actually had typos in every single scorecard.
Oh, that's great.
Because I didn't notice this, by the way. Brian Minner, according to the original, they had it listed as 10-8 for Usman. 50-45. If he really was a 10-8, then it should be 50-44. And also, how the fuck do you give Paul Hughes an 8 in that round, right? I mean, that's the
Wait, hang on. I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah, okay.
What round?
In the fifth round. In the original scorecard, they have it listed as 10-8 for Usman, which should have made it 50-44, which is even crazier. It gets better. Daryl Ransom had... He had a 10. Wait.
Did he have the opposite of our scores there? Like, he had the
four. Wait. I'm reading the wrong one here. Here. This is great. Daryl Ransom had a 10-8 fourth round in favor of Usman, which should have made his scorecard 48-46. Not even 48-47.
Do they know what the new fucking rules they passed on 10-8 rounds? Do you know how bad it has to be at this thing?
And then Hadi Ali had a 10-10, which of course wouldn't equal
49-46. Why do they have wrong scorecards? Are the scorecards wrong?
So
why
now,
is that happening?
And it's worth mentioning this because it just, again, it calls into question all of this.
Ah, it's fucking bullshit.
So now they have since tweeted a new... A corrected one. But here's the thing, PT. The corrected one still has 10-8 in the fifth round for Brian Minner, which should still have made that first scorecard that we're talking about a 50-44.
This is a fucking disaster. This is a fucking disaster.
49-46 for Hadi Ali. They changed the fifth round, 10-9 in favor of Hughes. So he gave Hughes a 10-9, which according to this, Brian Minner gave Usman 10-8. The fifth round. And then they cleaned up the Dow ransom, and so now they got rid of that 8 and made it 48-47. But let me tell you something, PT. As the great poet, I don't know his name, once said, something's rotten in the state of Denmark here, because
that was Shakespeare.
Yeah, that was Shakespeare. I had a feeling. this is again,
Shadow Hamlet.
People might be rolling their eyes, but this calls into question the whole thing. You know what
it's,
I mean?
It's like at that stage when you're fucking putting out cards that don't make sense and don't add up to the numbers that are there. While compounding everything, right? So we've gone through everything here. The 50-45 is what we came in with. That was where we're bumping through the door with that one. Then we go on to the Keith Peterson kind of giving a break for an alleged foul on Usman and only giving one break to Hughes, even though he was in front of Hughes when he got... And honestly, it wasn't like a massive headbutt, but it's a strike after the round has ended. We have that. Now we have scorecards. This is the transparency we're waiting for that do not add up to the numbers that are on them. So like, you know, even the biggest fuck, even Don Davis should be looking at this going, you know what, lads, what the fuck happened?
What happened?
What is after happening with this fight?
Do you think the referees like just took the liberty to deduct points on their own? Like, you know what? That looked like a headbutt there in the fifth. I'm going to take a point away.
I can't wait to talk to Paul Hughes' team, because I could see him when they're on the ground. They had an issue at that point as well. Liam Shannon and Patrick McAllister in the corner. Paul was on the ground and they were like, you're letting him speak to his corner. Like, can you do that, please? And then they were like, this has to be a point. It's the third time. And he were like, they're all accidental. That's what he said to them. They're all accidental.
Yeah.
And look, I think he's right. I think they were accidental, but like, that's not the conversation. It's how much have you depleted this guy by kicking him three times in the fucking stones? You know what I mean? That's what should be factored into this.
PFLPR has now posted a third scorecard.
This will clear things up.
and it's now, I don't know if we have this up. Let me know. Let me see if I'm speaking. I'm looking at multiple screens. Okay, here it is. It's now a picture of a computer screen.
Microsoft Word. Yeah. They have it out and shit.
For the record.
Fuck off. Nah, there's no point in even fucking talking about this.
What is this?
I fucking get a Microsoft Word here and do my own one now?
Listen, for the record, I believe that's Excel, just for the record.
All right, and, fair play.
And it says, I just want to get this right. For once, 50-45 for Minner. So now the 10-8 fifth round has been corrected. It's now 10-9. 49-46, Hadi Ali. Seems like we're all good there. The fifth round is 10-9 for Hughes. And did we get rid of the 10-8 on the last one? Yeah, we did. 48-47. So, I mean, it's still ludicrous. But the fumbling of the scorecard delivery is almost as bad as the actual officiating itself.
Do you know what? Is this? This is great for Paul Hughes. This is the best kind of loss you could have, isn't it? Like, just having everyone be like, what the fuck is going on there? You know, like, it's not just the card. It's every, like, there's so many things. Like, this is the Zapruder film. These various scorecards that are popping up here. We could write a book about this fucking fight at this stage. This is absolutely mental. It's an asterisk at least. Like,
we need the stage. Chito Vera. What the fuck is going on, bro? I mean, this is unbelievable. What do you think Hughes does now? He still has fights left on his PFL deal.
I know there's a few Irish bars in Dubai. That's what I'd say has happened now. He's going to find himself a point to Guinness. And you know what? He is a guy that knows how to come back. He takes so much. And every loss of his career, in fact, has been this. It was Vucenic first, and everyone thought he was robbed, and he came back and he beat Vucenic again. Obviously, Usman, obviously I'm in Ireland. I'm hearing a bit of an echo chamber here, but a lot of people had the first fight for Paul. Again, not a robbery. Everybody was happy to say, look, Usman definitely could have won that fight. Same thing happens tonight. I only think he gets better from this. I think if they fight again, it'll be in the UFC. And honestly, after seeing what happened tonight, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Do we want to talk about the co-main? Corey Anderson is the new light heavyweight champion. Were you impressed?
Yeah. I love me some Corey, but it just wasn't, the most like compelling of fights. And it was a rough night. You know, yeah. Like the main card was tough.
Hey, Sergio Pettis, let's give him his props.
Yeah, well, that was fucking insane.
Losing that fight, loses the first round, and then nails the spinning back elbow in the second. A beautiful.
How can you like the Pettis brothers, man? They're both.
It was great to see Anthony bigging him up, going crazy on social media. Pettis saying he wants a title shot. Absolutely, you got to do that. It's just, I mean, the guy is still doing it after all these years. I remember him losing his UFC debut at UFC 185, I do believe it was, at the very beginning of that card in which his brother lost in the main event to RDA, losing his lightweight title. Let me see if I got this right. No, actually, his debut, he got knocked out at UFC 185. Wow, his debut was,
who was
four
that?
Fights prior. Ryan Benoit knocked him out. God. But his debut was actually UFC 167 against Will Campuzano, if you recall. That was GSP versus Johnny Hendricks, November of 2013. Made his debut, his MMA debut, back in 2011. So 14 years later, just had a kid, still doing it. That's a really great story. So that was probably the highlight, I would say. I mean, you know what? I take that back. The Usman Hughes fight was great.
Amazing.
It was a great fight, but you know, just sort of clouded by all of this. So Corey Anderson wins via unanimous decision in the co-main event. Sergio Pettis beats Magomedov via spinning back elbow in the second round, perhaps getting a title shot as a result. Archie Colgan beats JJ Wilson via unanimous decision. He obviously in the mix at 155, but it sounds like Usman wants Alfie Davis, so he might have to wait. Jack Cartwright beat your boy Callum Loughran. What do you want to say about this at 140 pounds?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really tough fight to take on short notice. That was meant to be the McGrillin fight. And I thought like McGrillin was a better matchup for Kalen. And McGrillin's a really hyped guy out of Carl Prince's gym, Manchester top team, Atiba fight tomorrow night. They're a great gym, one of the shining lights of the UK scene at the moment. And doing things in different ways too, which I really appreciate. I haven't gone the conventional route with Cage Warriors, things like that. Kalen, former bantamweight champion of Cage Warriors, takes on Jack Cartwright now. On 3 weeks' notice, another former champion with Cage Warriors and 140 pounds. And if you saw the stature of these guys, Kalen's like a fire hydrant. He's a spark plug, whereas Cartwright's long, lean. He's got a wrestling background, even though he mostly strikes. And I just thought that could be a way tougher matchup for Kalen, and it proved to be. He got going in the third round. I thought that the game plan he used in the third round probably should have been, if he could have got it going earlier, would have helped him a lot, because he just took Jack down and he kind of landed ground and strikes. But Jack Cartwright's striking was just too good in the first two rounds. Rifle winner in the night.
Yeah. The other result that I think is worth mentioning is Puya Rahmani. A lot of people excited about him improving to 5-0, fighting out of the UAE, originally from Iran. He won, and a lot of people seem excited about him. He beat Slim Trabelsi via first round TKO. So, the prelims had a lot of local fighters, a lot of Middle Eastern fighters, a lot of names that are still kind of unknown to your casual MMA fan, but I thought he kind of stuck out as someone worth remembering. So overall, you know, as I was actually going to come on here and say, like, it seemed like the vibes were good for PFL. You know, PFL starting to clean things up. You've got this new CEO, John Martin. Did you notice that shot there? Dakota Ditchova, Don Davis, yeah. Francis Ngannou, you know, arguably the two faces of your promotion sitting there. Francis and Don have had their issues over the last few months. It seemed like the vibes were good. By the way, I think PFL should just strictly be an international promotion at this point, because the difference in the way the product comes across when they're anywhere, not even Middle East, anywhere in Europe, France, of course, England, Ireland, it doesn't matter where they are. It just seems like such a bigger deal. And the South Africa, it just seems like the crowd is way more into it for some reason internationally as opposed to here domestically. I don't know if that's, you know, an indictment on the state of MMA here, but I think production-wise, if I'm getting like really in the weeds here, it's a little dark. The camera work was a little bit weird. It was crooked. No one cares about any of that stuff. Overall, was going to sit here and say this was a good, like a good moment for them. The build was good. People were talking about it on a UFC weekend. A lot of buzz regarding 320. There's a BKFC card that people are talking about because McGregor's involved in all this stuff. And, you know, for whatever reason, and you don't want to necessarily blame it on them because they aren't the commission. They aren't the ones sitting there. Although when you're overseas, it's a little bit different.
You have to wonder who was the commission then.
This raises questions. And you know what? If I were Don Davis or if I were John Martin, they're trying to rev up his persona and, you know, his place in the sport, I would put out a statement 5 minutes ago and say, great fight, great card. We do have some issues with that scorecard. We want to let you know that has nothing to do with us. We don't judge. We're not the ones doing this, X, Y, and Z. And distance yourself from this. Because not only was it the shitty scorecards, not only was it the 50-45 and then 49-46, the delivery of the scorecards calls into question the whole thing as well. It's just a 1-2 punch of complete lunacy.
Yeah. And look, I've been at these events in Europe, in Paris and Belfast, in the UK. They do a great job and they've made a real imprint here, and UFC are coming here less and less. UFC go to the Middle East more than they go to Europe. These are real things that are happening. There's an opportunity here. And I think US audiences prefer to see like the crowd like they are at these events. Like you can legitimately sell out places here. You have stars that can sell them out. I think you're dead right with that. And they've done great stuff. As I never stop singing their praises for what they do in Europe. Really, really incredible stuff. Even today, they announced the signing of Liam Ginton's, a really good prospect of a next generation Liverpool. Like, they're signing the right people. Kyle Loughran's a great signing. Jack Cartwright's a great signing. These are all guys that would have usually gone the UFC route and for whatever reason are there. So they need to use that. They need to exploit what they have. But unfortunately, that's just not the conversation we're coming away from having. Like, and to your point, could you imagine if this happened at Eddie Hearn fight?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be standing there for every camera in the place to do something. Like, this is my job to spin this somehow, to do something with this. And I honestly feel like that, like I'm looking at the reaction online. I think this is pretty much how most people are feeling here, you know?
Yeah, shout out to MMA Fighting. They compiled some tweets. I'll read some quickly for you guys. Lerone Murphy tweets, 50-45 is crazy work. Terrence McKinney tweets, 50-45 is diabolical. TJ Laramie tweets, robbed. Jeff Molina tweeted, LMAOOO called it. I guess insinuating that he thought there was no chance Hughes was going to get the nod. Dan Hardy tweets, great fight, great fight. I think Usman took the last round. 1-4-5 Usman. So
fair enough. Yeah, he has one round different from us.
He has the fifth round. Yeah. And by the way, if that was the case, like I would have been totally okay with that. But that, you know, right there is two rounds for Paul. We had a three.
If it's 48-47 on two cards and 49-46 on one card, it's way more understandable. It's way more understandable. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with 49-46. Yeah. I think if that's the one, we're probably talking about that card. If it's 48-47 Usman and then 49-46 Usman, we're talking about that 49-46 with a bit of skepticism too. But not on this level. Not on this level.
I just hope people recognize why we're making such a big deal about this. Like, you have a promotion, PFL. You're trying to win over the public. You're obviously, you know, you've got this deal with Dubai. Like, you renamed the event, you know, PFL Champion Series Dubai. First it was the Dubai Champion Series, all this stuff. And clearly the fan favorite who fought there last time and is getting an opportunity, and that's fine. You go where someone is a draw. This happens. It's a horrible black eye on the sport and the promotion, and someone needs to justify it. And the annoying thing about this is we will never hear from Brian Minner. And the annoying thing about this is we're not going to hear from anyone. Prove me wrong from the PFL, unless we'll get coach up there telling us like, isn't this great? Everyone's talking about us.
Say about this.
Everyone's ain't this great? They're all talking about, like, someone will spin it in a stupid way. And
who says we won't do the rematch?
Yeah, who says we would? By the way, listen to us right now. Do the third one. Who says no? Who says no? Who's not tuning in? Do the freaking third one. To the death.
Yeah, no judges. One man can leave.
It's been a long day for you, PT. You did the crack earlier today. Shout out to you and Guilherme and Donna and Chisanga, right? Am I missing anyone?
No, Andy Stevenson.
Andy Stevenson, damn it. I saw Chisanga's tweet over there earlier. Shout out to all of you guys. It's been a long day for me as well. And shout out to the team. behind the scenes. Shout out to Uncrowned. There's great coverage over at uncrowned.com right now. And we'll be doing this all over again tomorrow in what should be a very interesting day in the world of combat sports, because, of course, you have BKFC earlier in the day. One fight that we're all really interested in, of course, the Mike Perry, Jeremy Stevens fight, which, you know, if the press conferences are to be believed, Mike Perry's job is on the line. Job. Oh. It's a pink slip at stake for Mike Perry if he does not perform. And then, of course, the big one, UFC 320. Petey and I and the gallivanting Chuck Mendenhall will be with you.
He is gallivanting this weekend.
All he's over so the fucking we'll be with you at the very end of it all to talk about it. Petey will be very, very tired, so way less energy than he has right now. I mean, this is a joy for him. This is, you know, what are we?
11:30. This is perfect.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
This is my peak at this stage.
Yes, this is when you're just settling in for the prelims, yeah, for goodness sake. I'll be with you. I'll be tired as well. But it was good to do this. I'm happy we did it. We got it out of our system. And now we'll be able to lament more about it all online with the rest of you. Thank you very much for watching our post show. Thank you to On Air Jordan. Thank you to Frank. Thank you to New York Rick. Thank you to everyone behind the scenes for making this happen. Thank you to the legendary Ben Hefner as well, the real MVP behind the scenes here at Uncrowned, and of course everyone over at uncrowned.com, Shaheen Al-Shadi and the boys doing tremendous work there as well. PT, any final thoughts? Anything before we go?
No, nothing. I was already turned off there. Sorry, mate. Go ahead.
Okay, no, that's fine. Good night, everyone. Enjoy your evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.